next week to address both chambers of Congress. In Russia, American Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich was convicted on espionage charges Friday at a trial that was held quickly and in secrecy. He was sentenced to 16 years at a penal colony. Here's ABC's James Longman.
Evan was on assignment when he was detained and accused of passing information to the CIA. He's the first American journalist arrested for spying in Russia since the Cold War. In a statement, the Wall Street Journal saying Evan has spent 478 days in prison, wrongfully detained, away from his family and friends, prevented from reporting, all for doing his job as a journalist.
The White House denouncing the trial, calling it a sham, and says President Biden is doing all he can to bring him home. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. Radio.
If you enjoy great guitar, you won't want to miss Milwaukee's Mojo Perry. He's in studio for our live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight. Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Han Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Continue to be important to the healthcare landscape going forward.
Research finds that it can be really high quality, equally good as compared to in-person care, and we're living in a behavioral health crisis, and any measures to expand access to care are really important.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, an isolated storm or two, warm with lows in the low 60s. For tomorrow, a high of 80, mostly cloudy, few showers and storms. For Monday and Tuesday, maybe a little more humidity, highs into the low 80s, and the storm chance continues. It dries out after midweek.
It's 82 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome hilarious comedian Pat McGann and singer-songwriter Marta Hansen joins the show and performs live in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome into Hour 2. First up, we go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Pete and Conrad discuss National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Awareness Week, and joke around about how they would combine the two.
Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabe.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here, broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state from our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. Great to have you with me tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. Although it was weird because I, you know, on the Civic Media chat, all I heard about were tornadoes and terrible weather. And we just didn't have any of that up here. What was it like here, Conrad? Green Bay wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a little rainy in the morning. After that, yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah, same. So hopefully, wherever you are in the state, you're safe. And you did not sustain too much damage, whether it's just, even if it's not a tornado, wind can do some terrible things. How are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
You know, I had a good weekend. Hung out with a friend that I haven't seen in a little bit in Appleton. So it was okay. Fun.
Nice. Did you hit the bars there or something?
We tried a new place out called Mr. Brew's Tap House in Appleton, and it was really good. Had a lot of beers on tap.
What if you're just making that up?
Why would I make that up?
What if you and this friend of yours have been robbing banks for like 8 years?
Oh, that reminds me. I did watch Imaginary Friend. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, if?
I did watch it, though.
How was it?
For like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a kid's movie or not.
Well, I think it is.
It draws the line because it gets very depressing at some points.
Really?
Yes. That's, and then the meaning behind it is, yeah.
I have not seen that yet. I saw Inside Out 2. We'll discuss that in just a minute, but I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you're not robbing banks. That's not, that's good. that's good. You know, need it now money, but it's not sustainable, I don't think, not my experience, but based on what I've read or watched in TV and film. we have a good show tonight. Rob Thomas is here. And as always, I enjoy talking to Rob about movies and TV and some of the things he's written about on his Substack or at the Capital Times. He reviewed the film Bratz, and I read his review, and I agree with most of it, and I'm anxious to talk to Rob about it. I only watched about the first half, so I'm not totally qualified to agree or disagree with him, but mostly I agree, and I just think, I guess I don't know why it needed to be made, but there were some entertaining parts about it. And we'll talk. It's not just like a nostalgic trip, like some of these, and this is what Rob says in his review, it's not a nostalgic trip down memory lane or, oh, remember these movies when we were kids. It's kind of a guy settling a beef, which I thought was kind of strange and maybe not as interesting. Maybe it's okay to take a trip down memory lane and just say, hey, these were the good old days. Unless you have like a really killer point, which I don't know that Andrew McCarthy had, but, and then Roger Rappaport will be here at 8:35. Roger was on the show a few weeks ago talking, about his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. And he is a writer and a filmmaker and a journalist and a very good one. He's a very, very good at all three of those hats that he wears. So Roger is doing a book signing tomorrow on Washington Island at, I have to pull up all this information here because I have it written down. And sure enough, it's at the Fair Isle Books and Gifts. Fair Isle Books and Gifts tomorrow on Washington Island. Roger will be there signing his book about Patty Hearst. And there is a connection to Door County in this book and this crime that happened in California decades ago. So we'll talk to Roger about that at 8:35. Getting back to Rob Thomas, tonight's question is regarding the Brat Pack. And none of them really kind of came out as phenomenal actors. And it depends who you include in the Brat Pack. Is Tom Cruise part of the Brat Pack? If he is, well, then he's your most successful guy. You know, is Kevin Bacon? Yes and no, people say. I think the jury is out on that. But who is your favorite Brad Packer? Who's your most favorite? And who is your least favorite Brad Packer? That is tonight's question. Let's have some fun with this one. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your least favorite Brad Packer? And who is your most favorite Brad Packer? I think I would say my opinion has changed, but I think my most favorite is Emilio Estevez because he has a famous dad. There's a little nepotism there, but I thought he was a pretty good actor when he was young, and I think he kind of outgrew the whole Brat Pack thing, but I thought it was cool. In watching Bratz, his interview, Andrew McCarthy's interview with Emilio Estevez, I looked at Emilio Estevez, and I was like, he doesn't want to be doing this. I think he's being a pal. I think Andrew McCarthy has this unhealthy obsession. He turned into a documentary. Not unhealthy, just kind of like an axe to grind a little bit. And I thought Emilio Estevez just seemed like a good guy. So he has catapulted himself to the top of my Brad Peck list. Or maybe Molly Ringwald, because she didn't want to do it. She's just like, let's let sleeping dogs lie. I don't need to do this. I don't need to go back. Those two might be in a tie for my favorite. My least favorite? Probably Judd Nelson. They say in the Brat Pack documentary that he kind of wanted to establish himself as the Marlon Brando of the group. I don't really see that. I don't even think he's that great of an actor. So he's probably my least favorite. Conrad, what do you know about the Brat Pack?
I know nothing, but I can tell you my favorite, not Brat Packer, but Packer.
Yeah, don't care. I hope you can tell me that. Well, let's do it. Who's your least favorite Packer?
I can't say. Yeah,
you're too. You can't say, or you don't have one because
I don't have one. I just love all the Packers.
Too much of a homer. Oh my gosh. It's Mindy Kaling's birthday today. 45. She turns 45, and she is one of the most underrated Office ensemble members. She's also a writer, and I think eventually became an executive producer of the show. Very talented writer. Very talented actress. I would say pound for pound, and we might have talked about this, Mindy Kaling and maybe the guy who plays Toby, Paul Lieberstein, I think is his name. Their on-screen time, minutes per laugh, those two might be, or Creed. Those three might be my favorite, but Mindy Kaling, hilarious. She is hilarious. On The Office. I haven't seen her in much else, although I think she was in, she was just in a kid's movie. I think she was in Inside Out 1, maybe. Anyway, those are my thoughts on Mindy Kaling. We have an interesting day today, too. We always track the national days of the year, folks. We'd like to share them. On this weird equinox, summer solstice, weird moon, sun aligning, it just happens to be National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Safety Awareness Day. That's crazy. The stars have aligned. These two are happening on the same day. And this is so bizarre because, you know, you're not supposed to be in a pool when it's storming out, right? When there's lightning. Conrad didn't know that. He was just he was swimming a lap. He was trying to be a good citizen. He saw that it was National Swim a Lap Day, and he went out swimming this morning. Luckily, I saw him. Maybe not in time, but I think we should probably just go to the clip because this is crazy. It's National Swim a Lap Day coinciding with National Lightning Safety Awareness Day, folks. And this is what happened this morning. We got it all on tape. Go ahead.
Conrad, what are you doing in the pool?
It's National Swim a Lap Day.
Yeah, but it's also National Lightning Awareness Day. Get out of there.
I mean, it could have been much worse. Conrad?
Oh,
Conrad, you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
You're a little off today. You okay, buddy? Did the lightning get you?
I think it clipped me a little bit.
Just a little bit, though. You're lucky. You're lucky to be alive? Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's check. you're kind of taking a powder in your mind because of the lightning.
It's foggy.
You just can't do that. Folks, I cannot stress this enough. It is National Swim a Lap Day. For those of you that adhere religiously to the National Days calendar, you got to look at both, what's going on. You can't be out swimming during a lightning storm, and Conrad is evidence of that. He'll be okay, though. Glad you're okay, buddy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Here's how I want to close the first segment of the show. I saw Inside. All right. I made a vow on this show about a week ago. I said I was going to see both Inside Outs before the end of the week. My goal was before the end of the show week. That didn't happen. But I did see both by the end of the technical week. I don't even know if that's a term. But I saw Inside Out on Friday night. My daughter and I watched it. And then we went to see Inside, because I hadn't seen it. And I wanted to see that one before I saw the second one. We went to see Inside Out 2 last night, and I was blown away. It was outstanding. And I'm going to say it maybe, I don't know where I'd put it right now. I'm still kind of digesting the film. In my top 25 all time. I absolutely loved it. Better than Inside Out 1, which is lovely. But this film was so good. And the same character in the first one is now going through puberty, and all of her emotions, just like in the first one, are characters in her brain. And they're hilarious, but now they throw in puberty and anxiety. It was so funny and so sweet. I might put it above Toy Story. I don't know. Anyway, great film. We'll talk more about it. We'll read some of your texts coming up next. Conrad's going to try to stay indoors, although it looks safe out there. You can never be too careful. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. More next on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. When it did, I fall. I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for love.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Busted Pencils. Dr. Johnny presents a simple and clear argument for why we should fund public schools.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Executive Director Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools Arizona. The number is 855-752-4842. Sherry and Horicon, thank you for saying good evening, Johnny. We always love when Sherry's out there texting in to tell us hello. Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci. So we were talking about the vouchers, and we say, you know, what's happening in your state with vouchers? So what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Wisconsin? What's happening in Ohio? What's happening in Arizona sounds very much like what they've kind of warned us about. So before we get into how vouchers are being used, Beth, I was wondering, though, the question of going, but why did somebody originally say, hey, we should give kids a voucher so they can go to private schools? I mean, what was the original thought there?
It's a complicated answer. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the segregation academies in the 60s that were a result of Brown versus Board, like, you can point to the very, very racist roots of the original voucher system, which was championed then by Milton Friedman, right, who is obviously not a friend to public education and, you know, not a good guy. But then if we look at sort of the modern iteration, there's been a lot of money poured into these fights across the states. And it's always starting with sort of like a sympathetic audience. Like, we want to help low-income students. We want to help children of color. We want to help students with special needs. And it's been proven time and time again that these special interests are really just trying to wedge open the door, right, to sort of condition folks in that state to maybe think that vouchers are a good idea. And they started in Arizona with special education students. But it's, you know, it's taken different pathways in different states. But bottom line, we know that's not the kids that it's benefiting.
No, we put that out there, too, because, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, the home of vouchers, we said it was put forth as, yeah, we're going to give kids, poor kids, typically minority poor kids who are in failing public schools, we're going to give them an exit path to a private school or the school of their choice where they can take their tax money that would be going to that local failing public school and they can kind of put it in their backpack and go find a thriving private school or a home school, but they can get, you know, it's the escape. And as you pointed out, Beth, now 40 years later, we have the research and academic escape. No, it doesn't do that. In fact, looking at Josh Cowan's research out of Michigan State University, the academics actually suffer when kids take vouchers and leave the public schools. So they're not there. But now, Johnny Lupinacci, wondering about you, though, man, you're thinking about this. How we kind of, you know, we're rehashing in one way a story that we've heard lots and lots of times, but the idea that Beth was kind of indicating here, the unaccountable or even the kind of no boundaries. So you as a parent, Johnny, you can now dip into $7,000 and do what you want with it. I was wondering what you were thinking about that.
Well, I think that's a flippant comment on how it works. But that's how sometimes news and radio works, right, Tim? It's not, you know, it's not just you get to do whatever, although it's pretty loose in some places and it's being tested out. And I'll match that with an equally flippant comment in politics. For a long time, we test the boundaries in Arizona. We do it with radical politics. We do it with radical conservatism. It's saying like, hey, let's see how far we can push it. And Arizona's led us in that. Like, hey, we can push the boundaries this far. We can have a neo-Nazi run for office. They might not win, but we can see how far. In Arizona, unfortunately. But and that's not to speak ill of the great teachers that I work with in Phoenix, that I work with in Tucson. There's amazing people in Arizona. So when we talk about these places, we got to be careful not to be like the big bad Arizonans, right? Because it's not representative of the people of Arizona. And Beth can attest to that. As she said, you know, never underestimate a mom, let alone a bunch of moms, let alone moms that are also experienced educators. Right. And so, you know, I think to kind of get back to that, though, Tim, we see these boundaries being tested in places like Arizona, in places like Florida, and now 12 states. Well, in Oklahoma, it's a little different, right, because it's a tax credit. But there is a problem, and it's an education problem in this country. I don't agree with this particular solution, but something has to happen. Something has to be different about how we support good schools, because no kid should have to go to a bad school. And right now, depending on either how you look, where you live, or how much money your family has, kind of determines what kind of school you can be in this country. And so that just should never be the case. So we back way up and say, hey, if we funded our public schools instead of tried these other things, and I'll get to my punchline. These other things are really not trial and error. They're intentional, and they're about creating a marketplace, more spending. So that $7,000, Tim, you asked me what I would do with is it's economic stimulus in the in the camouflage of, hey, we're going to help families educate their kids. Really, they just want more money going into, they want more basketball hoops sold. Because I think Beth hit the nail on the head. She said, you know, like, these are supposed to be fiscal conservatives. They're not. They want money spent, money spent, money spent, money spent, which is money made for the big box stores and the industries that they're supporting. So rather than support a public municipal system where they say, like, hey, we have parks that we share, we have good PE curriculums, you can play rec basketball. In fact, we even have youth centers and things like that that may be nonprofit or community run, and we fund those through government, municipalities, and tax dollars, right? Well, that sure sounds like a whole lot of Democrat talk, doesn't it, Tim? You know, so that become this whole thing is like, we want free market. Beth, you should have a hoop at your house. Johnny should have a hoop at his house. In fact, if we want our kids to swim, we should be able to buy swimming pools. And the case being made here, though, is that there is an educational component. Because I will tell you, as a STEM teacher, I've bought Lego sets. I think it's a great way to teach kids, right? I've taken kids to amusement parks, specifically as a high school physics teacher. I know, Tim, you know, like, you're in Ohio, man. We went to Cedar Point three times a year, right? So, I mean, but we also learned while having fun together. Those are great things that our public schools can do, and in fact, do better. And yeah, I'm saying it, do better than we can individually. And you know this, Tim, like, I've chosen homeschool in certain contexts. So I will say, like, it does cost more than $7,000. So this is just money camouflage to spend. Like, this is just like to get industry, to make more money, to get spending. It has nothing to do with improving education. It really doesn't. And like Beth is saying, it's taking money away from things we really do need to invest in as a community.
Well, I think the context in Arizona matters too, where, I mean, I know all of our states are underfunded to a degree, but Arizona being 49th in per student spending in the entire country means, like, there is no fat to trim, right? So every time money leaves via a voucher, like, it is leading to huge school closures, teacher layoffs. And so it's really, as a teacher, like, seeing families taking out collectible Lego sets when we have to beg and scrimp and save and, you know, borrow in order to do just the absolute basics. Like, as a PTO leader for my school this year, we were begging for copy paper and Kleenex.
Yeah. See, it's Beth Lewis. Save Our Schools, Arizona. Busted pencils, fully lead at education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Hey, give us a call when we get back. Ask some questions here, because you have big exposure in CNN last week about what's happening in Arizona. And a lot of this money, though, going to, and we're going to hit this when we get back, unaccountable religious private schools. And what's the issue there? More Busted Pencils when we get back.
Busted Pencils is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The stage set in Michigan and the first joint rally with Donald Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, underway. Crowds facing heightened security earlier for the indoor event after last week's attempted assassination. ABC's Jay O'Brien is in Grand Rapids.
This is former President Trump's first time back on the campaign trail, his first rally since that assassin's bullet hit his ear exactly a week ago today. Some people waiting to get in here since yesterday. This is Trump and his new VP pick J.D. Vance's first time campaigning together as a ticket.
Aides say President Biden is still recovering from COVID and working the phones, trying to shore up support as calls grow for him to step aside as the nominee. Israel's military says it carried out strikes today targeting Houthi rebel operations in Yemen in response to the deadly drone attack carried out by the Iran-backed militant group in Tel Aviv. And a heat wave continues to hang over Western states challenging fire crews. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Brewers baseball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers back in action after having the week off for the All-Star game. They're in Minnesota to face off against the Twins. The Brewers still in first place with a 4.5 game lead over the Cardinals, but Milwaukee has lost 7 of their last 10 games. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think we're at a stage these last couple weeks where guys are, you know,
no matter how much we talk about it, guys are like looking for the break and think we're a little disconnected, to be quite honest. And there's been some guys coming back from injuries, some new guys playing. It seems like things have kind of went against us, but this is the lull in the action that happens in any season, and you can't flinch. But you also can't say we're not going to do anything. You got to be realistic. Other teams came in and played with a little freedom. We aren't playing with any freedom at all.
Basketball, the Bucks lost to the Phoenix Suns 115-90. Milwaukee now 0-4 in the NBA Summer League action. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, an isolated storm or two, warm with lows in the low 60s. For tomorrow, a high of 80, mostly cloudy, few showers and storms. For Monday and Tuesday, maybe a little more humidity, highs into the low 80s, and the storm chance continues. It dries out after midweek.
It's 82 right now.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All American Do It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hi, this is Julie Cairns with State Farm. Like a good neighbor is not just a corporate slogan or a catchy jingle. It's much more than that. It's how we try to encapsulate the enormous amount of heart and soul that drives our business. It's a title to a story that started over 100 years ago. At Julie Cairns State Farm, we're about relationships, not transactions. We participate in the lives of our customers and community. We are invited to help you with the things that matter most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Walsh's Ace has a full-service small engine shop. Right now, you can get all your small engine serviced at Walsh's Ace in Richland Center. Your chainsaw.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll catch you up on news of the weekend and also the current status of the Democratic nominee, Joe Biden. Not going to want to miss it. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. To catch all of these shows live and to interact with hosts, be sure to download the Civic Media app available on the Google Play and Apple App Store. Now, we go to the Earl Ingram Show. Earl is joined by Omar Flores from the Coalition to March on the RNC to discuss the group's efforts to resist the restrictions put on the First Amendment ahead of the event in Milwaukee.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I am so happy to have in studio a young man, Mr. Omar Flores, for the Coalition to March on the Republican National Convention in the city of Milwaukee. Omar, we're talking off the air. You know, I don't think people really understand the fact that you guys aren't going to adhere to the areas that they gave you. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement is here from all over the nation. Mm-hmm. With arresting powers.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So they can just, you know, arrest you guys. And some of that is going to happen. So or do you think it's going to?
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.